This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Blakey's Booth Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Right, hello, welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast by Wales Online in association with Giovanni's Restaurants. I'm Ben James, I'm back. They let me back on the podcast. I'm here with Paul Abandonato and, of course, Nathan Blake.
How are we doing? Afternoon, I'm good, thanks, Ben. Yeah, good, you? Good.
I'm not too bad.
Yeah, good, Paul.
Good to be here.
Yeah, good. Absolutely, always good, always a pleasure, never a chore.
Also joined by Joe Davis, who's on Worksbridge with us.
Hello. Yeah, good, thanks for having me on, Ben.
Why? You're making it sound like it's my decision. I'm simply here just to talk, sort of ask the questions. It's these two who are the stars. So let's...
There's one star, that's Blakey. And there's one superstar, that's Paul. Okay, enough
that's,
of the male.
That's all the niceties out of the way. Let's get on the football. Let's start on with the weekend. Liverpool, I suppose it went the way we assumed it was going to go, but what were your thoughts on that one?
Thought they'd done well, first half. But they're just they're looking to win the Premier League. They're just a top quality side, no matter how you look at it. It's not wishful thinking, because the beauty of football is anything can happen at any time, and any team can beat any other team on any given Saturday or Sunday. But if you're looking at form and the quality of play, then you're going to be hard pushed to beat Liverpool at the moment. So no surprises, disappointing Morrison couldn't get his shot off. I thought Junior... in the first half, instead of heading one, chesting one, I thought he should have just tried to just guide it full back across the keeper. But hey, look, their chances, they weren't taken, and you're up against potential Premier League winners. If not this season, then I would have said in the next two or three. So, it is what it is. But the important games are to come. The two important games are to come for me.
What about you, Paul?
Similar to Blakey. I mean, the only way Cardiff were going to do this was to keep it tight for 60 minutes and then probably play it in pockets of 10 minutes with the crowd willing them on. We anticipated an incredible atmosphere. It was exactly that, fantastic occasion at CCS. And to concede when they did in the manner that they did, well, really disappoint Warnock and the players, yeah. I'd say, from a set piece of all things. I actually, unlike Cardiff fans, I don't blame Sean Morrison for missing that header. I know it was a gilt-edged chance. He was 2 yards out and just misjudged it. But
we all miss from there, Paul. I'm
more concerned.
I miss my feet from there.
Okay. I'm more concerned at his role in the two goals, because for the first one, I thought he gave a needless corner away trying to clear the ball. It could easily have just been whacked out. If he was going to whack it, it should have just been whacked out for a throw-in. I think he'll accept that. Went for a corner. Yeah, Cardiff should have defended the corner better, but they scored from there. And then for the second goal, he had two chances to clear it. And, of course, there was a bit of a mix-up. And
His problem was he couldn't see the ball. So you are fouling. Even though it was...
Yeah, but I mean, prior to that, there was a simple clearance and he just miscontrolled it. And then Pelcher tried to get him out of trouble and he tried to clear it again and it rebounded off Salah. And then, if I'm brutally honest, when I first watched it, I thought that was a real theatrical dive from Salah. But as I watched it back on, we've got TV screens with us in the press box, and I was having Cardiff fans asking me, was that a penalty? And it was sort of like a... 50-51 for me at the time. But then when I watched it back, I can totally see why the ref gave that penalty.
Yeah, because Sean had a hold of him for too long. No, yeah, he should have let go.
Now, the counter argument is that, well, how many times have opposition teams got their arms all over Morrison in the opposition penalty box from set pieces? But I don't really think that's an argument. You can only each deal with each incident in an isolated case.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I repeat, it was incredibly theatrical from Salah, but I can totally see why the ref gave the penalty. And once that had gone in, it was game over. There was no chance of coming back from that point against Liverpool.
Yeah, I agree with that. What was a beautiful thing, mind. Probably one of my most exciting moments this season was Mendes Lang absolutely leaving, what's his name? Trent Alexander for dead with the ball at his feet. And Trent thought, he done me in about 5 minutes before with pace. And then Trent thought, I'll show him now. And he just, the one where he flipped it up over it, and then he was gone. And as they were travelling, the gap was getting bigger between them, not closing.
He's no slouch, Alexander Arnold.
No, he's not. He's quick. He's not. He's quick. But Mendes just left him in his chair. I was up out my seat. I was bouncing with that.
And if there's a negative to that, and you're right, that really, the fans needed something else to lift them up, and that did. He looked gone after that play.
He was gone. It's almost like because he'd done two runs almost back to back.
Yeah.
The problem is, and this is okay, so you make a great point, Paul. The problem is, this is why I say possession of the football is key.
Yeah.
Or very important. Because if you watched him, I watched him after that, right? He's run back down the left, right, to try and recover and get back into position.
Yeah.
Then he's running forward, then he's running back. And because your team don't have possession of the ball, and a team like Liverpool moves the ball so quickly and they switch play so quickly, you're not able to get your second wind. And he wasn't able to get his second wind. And and that's why I say, at points when then you have the ball, it's when you go, I tell you what, we'll try and mount an attack. And if it don't work, I tell you what, we'll just go back to the keeper. And the keeper can go out the right back and go across the centre-half and Liverpool drop off a bit and we'll just, and give you chance to get a breather. Like watching the Brighton game last night, which, you know, so disappointed for them. Which I was disappointed for them. But watching them dig in like they did tremendously well. But you knew they were going to score. You knew Tottenham were going to score. There's no way a team like Tottenham are going to go 90 minutes without putting a couple on target or at least one quality strike on target. And there's just no... They just, in the end, they're out of legs. Now, the problem is for them is going into the next game, they're going to be out of energy levels, I would say, anyway, unless they can recover, you know, remarkably well. But, you know, that was Mendes's problem. He never gets an opportunity then to just stand on the left, walk around a bit and recover. And he was gone. You're right, he was gone. And, you know, it's because he put the afterburners on twice in about 5 minutes for me. But great.
Touched a bit on it there, sort of Brighton result. Obviously, Cardiff played once in the last week. Brighton have played twice, which changes the picture of the relegation battle slightly. Obviously, they got a point against Wolves on Saturday, but then lost late on against Tottenham last night, which I think we all enjoyed.
Never like seeing people lose, but, you know, it's just one of those things yesterday.
But it's clear that Chris Hughton has decided we're just going to...
Well, they can't score.
Exactly, it's 11 men behind the ball.
So you may as well.
How are you going to score if you put 11 men behind the ball, Blake? At least give it a go.
No, they can't score. Well, they know they can't score. They're struggling to score goals.
I suppose the other thing is they've got the points advantage over Cardiff. So it's a case of just trying to eke out points for them now to get them over the line.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think their last goal was against like Millwall somewhere and the Cup.
Yeah.
It's like ages ago.
Yeah.
So, if they know they only need maybe three points, and you're not scoring goals, why would you go all out attack? It's like, no, play to your strength. You've got two brilliant centre-halves who are meatheads who can eat and drink everything that comes their way, as they showed last night. You've got good full-backs, and then you've got strength in numbers ahead of you if you put, you know, four across the midfield and drop the striker back, or four across midfield and drop the striker back and make five. So, you know, I think they had what, two half chances in the first half, nothing in the second half. You know, it was like watching a training game, attack v defence, when we used to play attack v defence. But, you know, it wasn't usually, you didn't do that in an 11v11 formation. But watching them do it last night, it was like, well, what they're showing, their capability, is we can almost guarantee a point outside of those top six teams. And that is, that's something unique to have in your pocket. You've got to have, like we say, plan B, a fallback situation. We're not scoring goals, we need points. We're not going to win games because we go in the game 0-0. You get a point just at the start, and we're not going to score goals. So the chance of us winning one or two is unrealistic, really. So tell you what we're good at as well, we're very good at defending. So let's defend. If it was me and I was in that dressing room, I would be saying, let's just defend last two or three games, get over the line, and then we can reset for next season.
Listen, but we're not in that dressing room, but from reading the reports from the outside, it is that very attitude that's caused the dressing room angst that we were talking about the other week, that the players felt that Chris Hughton wasn't being aggressive enough in his tactics, he was being too negative, too defensive, and that's what apparently caused the mindset issues that saw them lose 5-0 at home to Bournemouth when the talk emerged in the papers about problems. And then obviously the 2-0 loss to Cardiff. I watched the game against Wolves. It was attack against defence in that second half as well, as it was almost the entirety of the Tottenham game, certainly the second half of the Tottenham game. They've become a very dull team.
Yeah, they do, but that's what happens when confidence goes poor. We've seen it. Look, we're at the team that we support, a team that with no confidence 2 years ago, we're heading to League One. We've seen it. We've witnessed it. Let's not forget, you know, we were a team without pace, without sort of confidence, no striker that you could look at and think, oh, yeah, he's going to get us 20 goals a season. Nothing. So, you know, in this period we're in right now, it's been successful in getting back to the Premier League and getting up from the Championship. But still, the next step, what is our next step? Where are we going after Warnock? What do we do? Warnock leaves, we return back to where we were, or are we going to build, or are we planning on building, or do you understand what I mean? So confidence for a player is like, hey, it's like a pen to a reporter. It's your bread and butter. If you've got no confidence, it doesn't matter how top player you are. You know, you see some top players lose confidence and you think, well, how many times have we all seen players in the Premier League thinking he is rank, and then a year later you see him in like Champions League playing for Valencia and you think, look at him, and he's got like 14 goals, or he's like completed 80%, 90% of his passing in midfield. It's just the way it goes sometimes. Confidence, mate. So managers say if you could bottle it, they'd all be rich.
Well, I mean, it's a Cardiff v Brighton relegation battle, you know. I mean, Southampton are technically still in the mix, but they've got Huddersfield to come at home still. I think they've got a game in hand as well, so Southampton will be fine. I put something out on Twitter after the game last night, which lots of Cardiff fans like, but I got stick from elsewhere, but I stand by it. It was
okay, because I don't do social media,
It was that Brighton have become an incredibly negative team to watch for the reasons you outlined, for whatever reason, and I really do think that the Premier League will be more enriched by Cardiff City being part of it next season, and I say that because at least Cardiff do give it a go. Their fans have been brilliant all season.
Can I just stop you there? Because we're all biased, right, towards our own, who we love, right? But let's not get it twisted. No, we've not had more than 25-30% possession in any game this season.
No, but in recent times, Cardiff have given it a go. They've had a fight in this relegation, but they're doing what they've done last season.
I would agree with you that we'd be better off than Brighton in the Premier League. But my point, going back to the last issue on Paul, it's not, you don't, Cardiff fans don't turn up and enjoy the football they're watching. It's just, can we stay up against all odds?
I also think that things like we had on Saturday, that Cardiff City Stadium, Sunday, that Cardiff City Stadium experience enriches the Premier League. I think the Wales-England thing enriches the Premier League.
I think
Warnock's charisma enriches the Premier League. I think there's a whole number of reasons why Cardiff being in the Premier League would, in my opinion, give the best league in the world something a little bit different next season as well. Whether it happens, of course, is another matter entirely.
Both sets of fans are great.
Brighton fans are great as well.
Cardiff fans are good, right? Both great set of fans. Both got fairly new stadia.
Yeah.
Very good. If I said to you, who would you take, Neil Warnock or Chris Hughton?
50-50.
Right. 50-50. So there's to me, there's not a lot between the two teams.
Well, and Wales, England. You can't say that. You can't say that Brighton is in the playoffs.
But my point is, my thing is, Paul, I'm not just about staying up. I want to see my club competing in the Premier League and becoming a mainstay. Yeah. So it's the progression. It's the next step. It's, you know, what are we going to be? Where are we going? What's the plan? And I've been talking about this recently for the last couple of months or weeks, because we're coming to the end of the season now. Neil is kind of deciding that, you know, I'll say the right stuff to the fans, and, you know, love being here, love the club, best ever club. I mean, he said that at plenty of clubs. You know, he's a Sheffield United fan, so I wouldn't have thought there's nothing bigger than Sheffield United for him. But let's take him at his word and say he loves this club more than any. I think he's earned the right to be able to say, I'm going to step down, right? But it doesn't mean to say that the club, the board, Ken Chu, the owner, Vincent Tan, don't plan. If the plan is we keep Neil another year, then plan underneath that for this time next season. If the plan is Neil goes at the end of this season, then I hope they've last 3 months at least have been planning for his succession. Because what gets me, what it always feels to me like it's never thought about. It's just right here and now. We're struggling, we're going to grab this manager. Right? We're struggling, we're going to grab that manager. It was kind of like where we were going. We're struggling, we're going to grab that manager. Didn't work. And then Neil Warnock became available. It was like, because what he'd done at Rotherham, it was the obvious. So we grabbed that manager. And then, lo and behold, season later, you get promoted in the Premier League. But that's not planning. Do you understand me? Bournemouth ain't where they are because they just guess and pick and they got lucky. You have to plan this whole... It's, you know... If you're playing in the best league in the world, you can't get away with just turning up. It's like a team, like Cardiff, every week just turning up, not seeing the manager from 1 week to the next, turning up, going out and playing football. They'd be all over the place. Just how I mean. So yes. My thing is the next step. Where are we going? I just want the best. Is it too much to ask? We've got money. Owner's got money. You've got a new stadium. I still think they need to invest some of their money from the Premier League into their own training facility, a proper top training facility. Once that's in place, where's your oyster, mate?
There's obviously a much shorter step than that, and that's the next three games, obviously.
Yeah.
And the truth is, what happens at that stage, whether Cardiff have stayed up or gone down, I really do not know. I don't know if Warnock will stay. I don't know if he will go. I don't think it'll make any... I don't think the fact that Cardiff might be relegated would make the decision more likely one way or t'other. I think if anything, if Cardiff were in the Championship, he might well be more inclined to stay.
Yeah, I probably agree with you.
So, it's hard. The truth is, I don't think anyone has gone beyond that, for good or for bad, at this moment in time. I think it's wait and see where Cardiff are and take it from there at that point, but just throw all the energies and all the in inverted commas, planning into these next three games for the time being. Mm. And I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that's
no,
wrong.
I agree with you. Right? I totally agree with you.
I think that's where we are now.
I'm talking like generalising holistically of the club and where it's going and what direction and what fans would like to see and what have you.
I mean, if you were to push me on Neil Warnock, I honestly think it's a 50-50 call, whether he stays or goes, whatever division Cardiff are in. I think that Salah's situation has affected things.
Mm. Would you,
before and I'll
if
say,
you were on the board, what would you decide?
I don't know, Blakey. Mm. I really don't know. I don't know, because if he keeps Cardiff up, that's an extraordinary feat. I'm like you, I haven't particularly, well, while I've thoroughly loved the Premier League season more than last time,
mm. I've enjoyed the wins.
I haven't particularly enjoyed watching Cardiff totally outclassed by Chelsea, Man City. I'm talking about the Chelsea away game, obviously. Mm. Chelsea, Man City, Tottenham being, what, 3 goals up in a few minutes, you know, that sort of thing. I haven't overly enjoyed those experiences. Mm. But Cardiff are miles away from competing with those teams under the current regime.
Yeah.
Yeah? Miles away.
Yeah. But they've got everything in place to be able to compete with your Watfords, your Brightons, your Everton's, they're probably a bit further forward, but your Southampton's. Do you know what I mean? They've got a stadium, 33,000 they can sell out.
Yeah.
Drop of a hat.
Yeah.
You could probably say, if you planned and you got certain structures in place and you got your strategy right, you could probably say you could put another 10,000 on our stadium in 2 years and be a 40,000 sellout crowd. I would say Cardiff is like an equivalent to a Newcastle, where you could probably get 50,000 every week. Not a problem.
That's a big call, that one.
No, I honestly do. I honestly think, Paul, because what happens is you stay in the Premier League and that is deemed a success. And what happens is people are attracted to success. So the kid who's a big Man City fan, who's 12, who lives in, I don't know, Cumberland, is thinking, right, I can't get to Manchester, but his dad says, you know, Cardiff was my second favourite team. He's like, let's go and get a season ticket there. Mm-hmm. We can watch Premier League football every week. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just the diehard Cardiff fan. Mm-hmm. You've got, like, thousands of people who are travelling here, there and everywhere to watch games, who some of them might just say, I tell you what, let's just, you know, get a season ticket. It's only going to cost me, what, £1,000 or so, rather than travelling up the motorway every week, blah, 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 blah. So there's scope for, because I've always said the catchment area, really, if you go up the M4, Newport, Chepstow, right around, touch Herefordshire, the Wye Valley, Herefordshire, right around, take in most of the valleys from, say, Bridgend, upwards, Merthyr, up that way, Tredegar, come all the way down. You've got a huge catchment area. Mm. Absolutely huge. And then how you market that and how you, you know, how you plan, fans think, hey, this club is going places. I jump on board with it. I honestly think Cardiff could be an equivalent of a Newcastle. And then when you get them through the door and they start to see, right, you stay in the Premier League a season, a second, a third, a fourth, all of a sudden, they become regulars. They're just Cardiff fans.
Yeah. See, I mean, there was a lot of talk, and it's significant you should say that right at this stage. There was obviously a lot of talk at the weekend about the massive Liverpool support in Cardiff. And
it was wonderful.
I've said this before, semi-tongue-in-cheek, but no more than that, that when Cardiff played Liverpool in that Carling Cup final, there were probably as many people wanting Liverpool to win in Cardiff pubs as there were Cardiff fans, yeah? And I meant that to a degree, although it's an element of tongue-in-cheek to it, but massive, massive, massive Liverpool following in Cardiff, but as there is Man U, but the Liverpool following stems from
the
80s in particular, but also to a degree the 90s, notwithstanding your particular couple of seasons, Blakey, where Cardiff fans were starved of success, and then the Premier League came into existence and all that sort of thing, and it became so big that, you know, fans in the 70s to a degree as well, 70s, 80s, 90s were latching on to
Anyone who's successful.
Yeah, but particularly Liverpool.
Because they were the most successful. The
ones, right?
Yeah.
But there is a new generation of Cardiff fans now. My own children are amongst them, right? Mm-hmm. Whose experience of Cardiff City is Craig Bellamy and Aaron Ramsey. And you know, they don't know Joe to my left.
Yeah. Don't know me from Blake.
21.
21. Joe's an example of that, right? Mm. Joe doesn't know
me.
The 3,000.
Who's that old guy just coming through the door there?
I've been thinking the same thing. I just want to say it.
Joe doesn't know the 3,000 fans at Ninian Park for Lincoln City, or the fourth. Well, no, the three
or the 5,500 travelling to Scunthorpe to watch us win the league.
Yeah, that was an example of diehard Cardiff fans. Yeah,
yeah.
But there is a new generation that Premier League. So this is why it's good for Welsh football if Cardiff stay up, because they tap into a massive, massive sort of, you know, population potentially with sustained success, which means people following a Welsh football club playing football as opposed to rugby potentially, things like that, you know, the whole spin-off that Cardiff City being successful in the Premier League could achieve. You know?
Whether they're
as big as Newcastle, I would dispute that. I can't see that.
No,
possibly.
I'm saying they could potentially be a 50,000 seat estate, no problem. I don't see... It's like saying, well, you know, there's not that many people around. We live in a huge catchment area.
Yeah.
Huge catchment area. And don't forget, if you could say, right, from mid-Wales down, right, it's only us and Swansea.
Yeah.
Newport up the road. Newport are League Two. They've got a fan base of a constant of about 2,500, 3,000.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, they get their 6,000 and 7,000 if it's a big cup game.
Yeah, like Tottenham.
But that aside, you know, there's not that, and it never has been. In the 80s, I remember, there was never. Well, in the 80s, when I joined Cardiff, we were playing in front of 2,500.
Yeah.
2 decades later, they're playing in front of 30,000 with success, but not the kind of success that you could say, look at like a Man City or Man United or a Liverpool or an Arsenal. Not that type of success.
Yeah.
Little bits of success.
Yeah.
Sprinkled here and there, you know, progression through the leagues and what have you. So I say it, mate. And like Cardiff fans, I always remember one of my favourite moments in football when they came to watch me at West Brom, like 200 or 300 of them, because the Cardiff game was cancelled.
Yeah.
And I seen them at the specials gig on Sunday after the Liverpool game. I got so much love for Cardiff fans. Oh my days! It was just like picture after picture, signing after signing, and they were all like my age and older, men and women. Or 90% of them, the specials were playing in Cardiff in the university, and they're just superb, mate. I just think, you know, they deserve the best. Then. You know, so if I can give you the best, what I deem as the best, and I've seen playing for other clubs, and I've seen how boards have functioned and how clubs have progressed, you know, or regress. You look at someone like Blackburn I played for, won the Premier League, and then, you know, down to League One, back into the Championship. You know, they've won the Premier League in the last 2 decades. But if you plan right, You can definitely get it. They can become a sustainable Premier League team for me, with a 30,000 to 40,000 averaging week in week out, no problem. But you got a plan?
Yeah, definitely. It's a big catchment area, isn't it? You think of Mid Wales. You think if you as a kid in Mid Wales, in terms of the catchment area for sort of trials, you've got three clubs. You've got Cardiff, Swansea, and Hereford.
Mm-hmm.
But you think of who the kids in Mid Wales actually support. It's Man United, Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's
because they've not, and because there's not been a lot of success to follow down there. Yeah. You know, when I'm in school and my mate supports Man United because Man United have just won the Champions League, I'll support Man United.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of where it goes. That's what you deem as success for Cardiff. Success for Cardiff at this moment in time is staying in the Premier League and then becoming a sustainable quality club in the Premier League. You know, we're looking at clubs. Let's look at Watford, where they've been. Man City, where they've been. Now people go, oh, but they got money. We got money. We got as much money as many of the clubs in and around us. Do you know what I mean?
20 years ago, Man City were League One, weren't
it? 20 years ago, we were in League Three. Yeah. Oh, that's the truth of the matter. Do you know what I mean? Yeah,
but League One or not, they were getting 30,000 plus crowds at Main Road. They were getting phenomenal gates.
Yeah, but they're only getting 40 or 50 now, and they've just won the Premier League but for the last 5 years.
The whole of the 90s for Man City was...
Wasn't a show.
Disruption.
Just going to the Dolphins, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
More, you know.
But even now, with the brand new stadium and everything, they only push like 45, 50. Do you understand what I mean? And that's with... That's with winning the Premier League, signing players like Silva, Kompany, De Bruyne, you know, Sane, money from Qatari owners or wherever, just swashbuckling. They built the area up and everything. They're still only pushing 50,000 odd, 52, I think, 54. It's not huge, is it? I mean, if you look at their neighbours who are up at the, you know, 75 mark, week in, week out, whether you're playing Derby County, Watford, Leicester, or Liverpool, you're sold out, and you could probably sell it again.
See Sam Hammam's theory when he was at Cardiff, and it, you know, he got ridiculed for the as big as Barcelona thing. I'm not sure he ever said that, by the way, right? But
they're not
his argument was that as the capital city club, if Cardiff kicked on, they would suddenly start attracting exile support. They would suddenly have this massive support from Welsh folk around the world.
Mm.
Yeah.
Think of how
do
many.
Do you see that as well?
100%. Think of how many, like, for instance, right? I remember when we played, I was speaking to Rob Phillips the other day, and you say, like, when we played at Fulham, and we'd been promoted the season before, I think it was 93 or something like that. And played at Fulham, and people like Neil Kinnock were there, right, who were fans.
Yeah.
Now, when do you ever see superstars in the stadium? Very, very rarely. Now, if you're on the marketing department, or you're Ken Chu, the boys with the Mannix, they're Cardiff fans. You know, there's like top rugby players who are retired who are big Cardiff fans. You get those faces to your games.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? A who's who. Yeah. You know, the Royal Box, if you like, you should have five or six superstars in there every week. You know, you give them season tickets. You tell them whenever you want to come, you can come. Right? Former players. You never see former players. There's so much that, you know, like, you're missing out on because you don't really know how to market what you've got in this area.
But of course all this becomes irrelevant if Cardiff go down.
No, it doesn't.
No,
because I still think they get 22,000. I still think they get 22,000 in the championship.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you've got to think the other 8,000-10,000 people have come from what we're saying.
Yeah.
They've jumped on that Premier League bandwagon.
Yeah.
Why do you sell 30,000 in the Premier League and 20,000 in the championship?
Yeah.
Where those 10,000 fans come from? Just like that, with no real marketing campaign or anything like that.
Yeah.
They just turn up.
Yeah. I did like that attempted segue there from Paul. I think you're trying to get onto the Fulham game, aren't you? I think you're trying to...
No, not
so. You know, it felt like you were trying to move things on to now. We've got three games left.
No, not at all. Although that's where we are.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
That's where we are.
But we've got to... We're coming to the end of the season, but it's important we reflect and talk about the future also. You know what I mean? Because... You know, it's the fan show, and they want to know, they want to see, they like me, like you, like all of us in here, just want the best for their club.
Yeah, just keep that catchment area south of Hereford, because they need to get back to the Football League.
Are you a Hereford fan?
Yeah.
Never mind, mate. We can't have it all, can we, Joe? I mean.
So yeah, let's move on quickly. Fulham up next.
Yeah,
it's hard to sort of overstate how massive this game is. Of course, Fulham first win Cardiff got this season, wasn't it?
Yeah. Do you want to take it away, Paul?
What do you think? Well,
There's a bit of rivalry between Cardiff and Fulham, if you remember back to the 80s.
Cardiff got a good record at Craven Cottage, which offers hope.
I scored twice there.
Did you? Okay.
You don't remember?
Well, I was obviously there.
The free kick then, and then the right foot driver. Come on, mate. Oh, you missed out on Edda. That was it. It was 1991, I think.
Lovely little trip up there, I must say.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be taken in conjunction with the evening kickoff, the Brighton Newcastle game. So Cardiff, by winning, Cardiff can really, really put pressure on Brighton for their 5:30 kickoff. Really put pressure on them. If Cardiff lose and Fulham have suddenly hit a vein of form, I don't know where the heck that's come from.
I tell you where it's come from. No pressure, Paul. They're down already, and they got the quality players.
So, if Cardiff lose, that really gives Brighton something to go for, because they know beating Newcastle would pretty much guarantee they stay up.
Yeah.
My view was always that Cardiff had to match Cardiff had to match Brighton's result this weekend, and then the following weekend was when they could jump above them when they play Palace at home and Brighton are at Arsenal. But Brighton grabbing that point at Wolves with their superior goal difference has changed that mantra a little bit now, and Cardiff either have to win or draw and hope that Brighton lose at home to Newcastle.
Or Brighton's last two games.
They got Arsenal away. Yeah, they got Newcastle this weekend, then they got Arsenal away.
They got Man City.
And Man City at home, yeah. Yeah, with Man City will be looking for the title on that day.
Mm.
So it really is key for Brighton this weekend, whereas Cardiff have actually got two shots at it, I think, because Crystal Palace is a winnable game.
Absolutely.
At home. Mm. But it could all be over this weekend.
I'd take a point this weekend as well, as long as Brighton don't win. I'd take a point if Brighton don't win at Newcastle. I'd take a point because psychologically, they know then they got to go to Arsenal, is it?
Yeah.
And we home to Palace.
Yeah.
That's going to dement people. Fans, players, manager alike. But it's going to be like, oh my God, imagine if they turn them over. We're going to be behind. Then we're going to have to go to, oh no, and Man City, that's it.
That scenario would still take the end of the final day. Cardiff would still need a point at Old Trafford because of Brighton's superior.
If they get a point against Fulham and.
Yeah,
and Brighton. Three against Palace. What's the points gap at the moment?
Three.
Yeah.
You're working on the basis Brighton lose this weekend, though, obviously.
Yeah, they don't. They lose. We get a point and then we get three against Palace.
I would 100% take that scenario.
Yeah. I think we've got. With the two games of Fulham and Palace, I think it's not... The beauty is, you don't have to... Well, it'd be beautiful if they won both games.
Yeah.
But I'll stick to what I've said for a couple of weeks now. If they can get 4 points from those two games, I think even 1 point... If they get the win against Fulham...
Yeah.
Oh, it's on, mate. It is so on.
Yeah.
You know, if they get the 1 point, it still leaves that nagging doubt in the back of... Brighton's mind, knowing that, hold on, they got Palace at home. That's a winnable game.
So Brighton's the evening game.
Brighton's the kicks off.
That's the interesting dynamic, because obviously if Cardiff win,
puts the pressure on.
But if Cardiff draw, it probably allows Brighton we can put 11 men behind the ball again and play how we want to play.
Yeah.
So
But you know what? I wouldn't be against that scenario either, because I do think that Cardiff can beat Palace at home and Brighton will lose at Arsenal. That would bring it down to the final weekend with Cardiff having to outdo Brighton's score. And although this sounds preposterous, I think there's more chance of Cardiff getting something at Old Trafford on the final day than I do Brighton against a title-chasing Man City team, even though they're at home to them.
Especially if they lose tonight.
Obviously that'll be known by the time a lot of people listen to this podcast, but irrespective of that, I think, you know, we're rather hoping that Man United are out of it by the final weekend, aren't we? So that I've got it all worked out.
The ultimate sporting karma, that, wouldn't it, if Neil Warnock went to Man United on the final day of the season to Sheffield United and Carlos Tevez, wouldn't it?
Those are funny things working football.
Equally, or the opposite, funny things working football, that Solskjaer's the person to relegate Cardiff for a second time in 5 years. So I don't know if calm is the right word for that one, but you know. So anyway, it's all.
You'd rather play United than City, though, wouldn't you? At the moment.
Yes.
Definitely. Oh yes, so, for yes. real.
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
But I still maintain, you know, if they get a point at Fulham, yeah, it wouldn't be as much as a win, but it will start those little mind games in the minds of. You know, Brighton, especially if they don't go, they're going to put their eggs in the Newcastle basket.
Yeah,
Arsenal, it's not the Arsenal of old. I think they're still beatable. Yeah. Arsenal, I wouldn't mind having Arsenal as our last game, home or away. To be honest with you,
would you
prefer them home? They're better at the Emirates, but they're not. It's like United. What we're saying about United. When could we have ever said that in the last 20 years? Mm. Going to Old Trafford, last game of the season. I think we can get a point. But we generally think, well, you could possibly get a point there.
Yeah.
You know, it's realistic. It's not unrealistic.
We got more clean sheets than them anyway, so...
There you go.
Good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant. So then how do we, look into this weekend, how do we go to Cramer? How do we line up going to Fulham?
Ooh. Do you want to go first?
Well, it's irrelevant because Warnock will line up the way Warnock lines his teams up, which will be...
4-4-1-1.
Well, if you want to call it that, or 4-3-3 or 4-5-1, it's all the same thing at the end of the day. Similar, very much true.
Yeah.
He'll line up.
Nias will be the 9.
No, I think he'll go with Ken this weekend.
Zoho!
Yeah, I think he'll go with Zoho.
There's a shock. That's not like you, the back Zoho.
That's not my view.
I said the question was irrelevant and you just thrown that bombshell at you. Ken's going to start.
I think Zoho will start this weekend. I think he'll have Mendes and Hoylett wide. I think Mendes has done enough to keep his place. And I think he'll have his usual three-man midfield and his usual defence. There comes a point, and I personally felt we'd reached this a couple of weeks ago, right? But Neil Warnock sticks to what Neil Warnock thinks works, yeah? There comes a point where I do think he needs to be a little bit more inventive.
That's too late for that, mate.
No, but it's not for substitutions, Blakey. Instead of having the like-for-like substitution, if things are going wrong, there's no reason why you can't suddenly pair Ken and Nias and Bobby Reid just behind and just take off a midfield. There are ways and means, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, Ben, going back to the original question, Ben asked, you know, how should they line up? It's a little bit irrelevant. It's how they will line up,
and
it will be exactly, I suspect it'll be exactly.
I think it'd be Nias, wouldn't it?
Well, you think it'd be exactly the same?
Yeah,
team,
I think Nias.
I think Arta might be fit, in which case he comes in for Riles.
I don't know. Riles has done well. Mind last couple of years, I have to say, I think Joe's done. Paul's just turned away from me with utter contempt.
I wouldn't do that to any Cardiff player.
But I do. I think Joe's done well.
He did pick up the injury, though, didn't he, against Liverpool with his hamstring, so I don't know whether he...
Joe played very well. Yeah. Very well at Brighton, right?
Muscle injuries Harry at this Arter, stage.
Harry Arter has to come back into that team if he's fit. Harry Arter, Gunnarsson, Camarasa has to be the midfield first choice.
Okay. You want to get in a Fulham streak from the first minute, don't you? Because I know they've hit a decent run of form, but you look at the two teams they've played, Everton and Bournemouth. It's pretty much the battle of who's on the beaches first in those matches, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, Everton just stuff Man U 4-0.
Everton are a weird one to predict.
They are
real Crystal Palace that you can't predict.
Yeah,
I think that's the way he'll line. He may well line up with Nias, in which case I think Nias just gives you guaranteed.
He stretches your team. He stretches you, which Cardiff need able to get out and get up. From a defensive deep block, they need someone who can not hold up the ball but can run in behind. And I think Nias does that so well for Cardiff. His finishing might not be the best, we know that, but I think what it gives you in terms of being able to turn defence into attack as well, I think it's so much more than Ken. I just haven't seen it from Ken for a long time.
That's what Cardiff did really well in the home game, wasn't it? That 4-2 win, they stretched Fulham's defense. I think it was Patterson with Reid behind that day.
Stretched it
and it allowed Reid stretched it and it allowed sort of Josh Murphy to get in wide. It allowed Camarasa to play in those pockets. And then you think back to the 4-2 defeat to Fulham the year before, and Ken was up top that day, and it was probably the role reversal. They didn't really caused Fulham too many problems.
I think going back to, I think I would personally pair Ken and Bobby Reid together now from here on in for the rest of the season with probably Mendes, because he offers the biggest goal threat, I feel, at this moment in time with the wide players. I'll probably go with that as a front three.
But I don't think Ken's given you enough. Do you think Ken's given you enough up front? The problem is, we know Ken's got a capability of a 9 out of 10, but he's not giving you that. Niasse is giving you 7 every time he plays. Yeah, not finishing, but he's giving you 7, 8 out of 10 for work rate, endeavour, you know, stretching teams, causing problems.
And right now, I think it's about goals. And I just think that Ken is more likely to get shots on goal than Niasse is. And there comes a time when those shots are not going to hit defenders, they're going to fly in, I hope, in the next 3 games. I just think, as I say, it's around. I think Cardiff will play, you know, they won't go at them from the first whistle. They will keep it tight.
They try and make it 1-0 in the closing quarter,
which is their
way. Well, they try and make a goal from a set piece at some point.
And who's to argue with that? Because if that comes off, whatever Brighton's result, it sets up a cracker of a home finale against Palace the following weekend.
Absolutely.
When I think the tactics will be the same again.
Yeah. Well, they haven't changed all season. Paul.
But I do think that there can be more invention and aggressiveness in the substitutions. Instead of like for like, there comes a time when, yeah, you can pair Zahor and Niasse and you can put Bobby Reid behind them. If it means sacrificing one of your midfielders, Cardiff have got to win games now, and there may come a point where they just have to do that.
But they can take a point.
They
can take a point. So, you know, I don't think it's... I'd play Niasse all day over Ken.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Potentially, Ken, great. But showing that potential, I haven't seen it for a long time.
I think you'll play Ken this weekend.
Okay. Should we have a fiver on it?
No, we won't. You shouldn't encourage gambling, Blake.
I'll bet 5p, mine.
All right, there we go. We'll have a quick break, and then we'll be back with a bit of Ask Blakey.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.
Right, welcome back. It's time for a bit of Ask Blakey. So let's get straight into it, Blakey, shall we?
All right, mate, yeah.
First question comes from Leighton Coslett.
All right, Leighton Coslett, how are you doing, bud?
Right, I like a bit of positivity at the start of this question, which I like.
Go on, Lee.
When we stay up.
I like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who would you buy in the close season to add to the squad to make sure we stay up next season as well?
Ooh, things would start the transition for me. Or not overnight, I'm not saying you change 11 players to a Fulham, but I would look at the right back from Brentford, or Bajo or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, because he gets forward and he can defend very, very well. So I look at the right back there. I would be looking at a centre half now. I think you're kind of spoiled for choice with experienced centre half, so you know that's up for, you know, discussion. I would try and keep Cannarasa, although I think that's a doubt. I don't think he'd be looking to stay. I think he'd probably be picked up again by a Premier League team or someone else. Strikers, the striker I was saying they should go after start of the season in January is now scoring goals for Juventus, Moyes Keane. I don't think that's going to be they'd be able to, but hey, you never know, you don't ask, you don't get. But I would start to transition the team into definitely having more possession. You're going to lose Gunnarsson, I think, so there's going to be space there for a midfielder. Holding midfield, I don't know, I'm going to have to go on my phone and look through the list of players I've got. But I would just start the transition,
yeah.
You know, goals are what, you know, you get 20 goal striker in Cardiff, he will be worshipped, hero worshipped, you know, forever and a day, because they haven't had it for such a long time. So you need striker, need an attacking fullback for me, a centre back. If I wouldn't go with someone very experienced, I'd go with someone who's 19, 20. I look at, you know, I don't know, teams coming up and across Europe, not just the teams coming up from the Championship, I mean coming up from League One into the Championship. So, mate, it's a great question, but I'd have to go on my phone and start giving you names, because I keep all that stuff stored on my phone. If we got time, I'll do it, but maybe I'll have some names for you next week. I'd like that.
Come back next week.
Just one thing on that, obviously, you know, the right back and the centre half and the midfielder, we've said all season, nothing's changed in that respect, yeah?
Mm.
I think that they probably will get, I can't remember his name, the Brazilian striker they tried to get on the back of Salah.
From Brentford?
No, with the Belgian club. What was his name? £20 million this was. It's a lot of money. It was more than Salah even. But there was too little time to...
Was it Wesley?
Wesley Moras. How do you pronounce his name? Anyway,
he's just known as Wesley.
Okay, they tried to... I suspect they'll go back for him. But Blakey, I heard something the other day which I thought was interesting. You mentioned a 20-goal-a-season striker, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was mentioned on radio. I was listening to a football show on radio, and one of the pundits was saying the days of a striker are more to do exactly what Nias does these days, to run the channels as a lone striker, to do this, to win the headers, to win the free kicks, right? The goal currency these days has to come from the wide players.
I know what you mean, but I still maintain the striker. If that's where Brighton went with Yakimbash and that, and they signed two players.
I suppose people like, you know, at the top level, you got Messi, Ronaldo, and so on, set the bet, and then you come down through Salah and Hazard, and the goals come from my players. I would make every effort to sign Harry Wilson for a season on loan, because I think he could score goals in the Premier League. I mean, he's got enormous talent.
Okay.
And I think they should have a go at that personally.
So, holding midfielder, I go with someone like Jeffrey Condogbia,
yeah.
Valencia.
Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
Talking about replacing Gunnarsson, Warnock said that he's got a ready-made replacement there in Leandro Bacuna. What do you make of that compared to the Paul Pogba last week?
Should we move on?
I think silence is deafening. Paul Pogba. And who? What did he compare him to?
Just Paul Pogba. Leandro Bacuna.
Bacuna and Paul Pogba?
Yeah.
I'd say Bacuna's better than Pogba at the minute.
What's the next question?
There we go. We'll move on swiftly.
There's a right back. Yeah.
It's Moses.
Adubajo.
He was a Hull, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's the right back.
How much would Conor Roberts cost from Swansea? Very, very, very capable right back, Blakey.
Nicolas Pepe, right winger.
Who's he with?
He is currently with Lille in France. So they're out there, mate. There's plenty of them. Reece Nelson is another boy. Hoffenheim might get him.
Is he on loan from City?
Yes, the one.
Yeah.
Would you look at some of the relegated teams, Blakey, to see if they've got anyone?
I look at Huddersfield. Huddersfield's problem is their striker. They just got no strikers. There's nothing there.
Aaron Moy will be smashed up.
Moy is probably the only player I'd take out of there. Fulham, it's just too much of a jigsaw.
Yeah.
Too many pieces to it. And I wouldn't look at either of those two clubs, if I'm honest. I think the clubs coming up, like Sheffield United and that, Norwich, they ain't going to sell. So you can perhaps look at people who finished like outside of the top six, but who've had a good run, like Preston's. And I think Middlesbrough will probably end up just inside or just outside. Look, also players, and then like I say, you look right the way down the leagues and across Europe. But you know, I probably got 45 players I could mention on my phone, which you know, you just collect over time. So they're out there. You just got to do your work, and you got to, you know, if you want to stay in the Premier League, it's like a catch 22. You stay in the Premier League, but you don't want to pay the wages. Then you know you're not going to stay in the Premier League if you don't pay the wages, because you're not going to attract the players.
That's it, isn't it?
Mm.
Right, next question. This comes from Daniel.
Right, Dan.
Should Cardiff be keeping one eye on Brighton's results or just completely focus on their own?
You can't help it, Dan. You can't help, but as soon as they come off the game against Fulham, they'll be tuned into the Brighton game. You know, whether you get some players say, "Oh, I don't listen. At some point, you hear it on the news, on the radio, or you get in, your missus will go, "Oh, Brighton won, what a nightmare. Brighton lost, great." You just can't escape it. So you'll always have one eye. They're your opposition. They're your main opposition. So, you know, you can't affect it. So what Daniel's saying is just focus on your own result. Get the win at Fulham, and then you can sit back. Not relax, but you can sit back and hope that, you know, others can do you a favour elsewhere. But yeah, you do focus on the opposition, who your opponent then is Brighton first, isn't it? So you're bound to.
There we go. And Joe, since you're here, You've got a couple of questions. This is where I can put my finger.
I wonder why you were sitting back and sipping tea.
My Uncle Rob has been in touch.
Uncle Rob, how you doing, Uncle Rob?
He's been Cardiff fan for years, so top man. He said, who was your favourite Welsh manager and why?
Oh, favourite Welsh manager. I liked Tosh for one game. He was great. He always was great with me, Tosh. Sparky.
You better put that in perspective for what? Joe. The fact that he only had one game in his first spell.
Oh, it's long though. Do I have to go into it?
No.
It was his second. It was his second spell, wasn't it? His second spell. Sorry, you, come later. My debut at night. Then he, second spell, come later.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had a game that kind of didn't go the way it's supposed to. There's a bit of booing and what have you, and he just came in and then left. But I always liked him as a man, as a person as well. I'm working with him just for that short period was good. But favourite Welsh manager, I would have to say it's got to be Sparky. You know, we enjoyed the most success in the Sparky. You know, it's not going to be Gouldie, is it? You know.
He's actually put a bet it's not Bobby.
Absolutely, Bobby Gould. Yeah.
So, and his second one, what club did you enjoy your time at the most?
Go on, Uncle Rob, any Cardiff City questions here?
Yeah, no, he loves it.
Cardiff, we had a brilliant dressing room, and obviously I'm Cardiff born, Newport bred, but all my family lived in Cardiff, so it was a huge honour to play for the club, you know what I mean? And it's great for your family and relations and things like that. So Cardiff was first and foremost, and then I'd say Bolton after that. Again, fantastic dressing room, great set of lads. And then Wolves as well. The Wolves was arguably the best dressing room, because there was just the banter and the boys got on so well. But it was just every minute was a joke. Like, it was in the dressing room after training, before training, people would get in early so they could sit and have, you know, take the mic and have a laugh and what have you. It was that kind of club, Wolves. It's those laughs that got us through a lot of tough times. So I would go Cardiff, Bolton and Wolves.
Brilliant. That's all from Rob Jeffries anyway, so...
Hello, Rob.
that's all for Ask Blakey.
Okay, thank you.
I've got to do some work now, haven't I?
sit back up.
yeah, so we'll be back with a quick break with some predictions. Right, so yeah, let's do a bit of footy fives. This is a chance for all you listeners to potentially win yourself £25,000.
25k, Blakey.
Don't say Blakey, because when I've got my five results, you haven't been forthcoming with the 25 grand. I'm still waiting.
You've had it every weekend.
Yeah, mate, I'm waiting for that briefcase to come rolling in here. Here you go, Blakey.
Got a feeling you might struggle on this one, because the first game up, it's two teams you hate to predict. It's Crystal Palace against Everton.
Okay. Crystal Palace v Everton. Let's go a real exciting 2-2 draw. Goals.
Desmond 2-2.
Absolutely.
There we go. Right. The next one. There's only one result you can go for this. Fulham Cardiff.
I think we do Fulham. I really do. I think just too strong for them. I think football wise, Fulham played some great stuff last year, but they're not in the same form or mode as they were. Cardiff know they got it all to do. I just think they physically go up there and, you know, get the better of Fulham. So I'm going to go a big 2-0 win at Fulham. Yeah. Oh, I am on a goal halfway and a goal late on. Settle the nerves. Yeah. 2-0.
I'll take that. Southampton against Bournemouth.
I'm actually going to go with a Southampton win for that one. I think they'll nick it 2-1.
Bournemouth have like switched off a bit, don't they?
Yeah, they're on the beach down in Bournemouth.
Repeat of the FA Cup semi-final, Watford against Wolves.
What a game that was.
They'll be desperate to...
Watford at home, Wolves a good team, but Wolves are... Well, that game against Watford kind of knocked them out off there. Destroyed. So I'll go Watford more to play for, because they're still playing again that FA Cup final team. I'll go Watford 1-0.
And final game, Bristol City against Derby.
Ew! He asked me to predict one of our biggest rivals. Yeah. City v Derby. Oh, that's a great game, because Bristol just outside the playoffs and lost. No. Derby just snuck in and won 1-0. I'm going to go Bristol City win 2-1, right? Because I think that's going to be... I think the championship's been superb as well this year. So I'm going to go Bristol City 2-1.
There we go. So you've gone for Fulham, Cardiff, you've gone 2-0. Paul, you're smiling already. I'm trying to give a diplomatic answer there.
I just find it so hard to call Cardiff City. I really do. Yeah. Everything Blakey says there about outpowering them, being the more physical dominant side, I get and I think will happen, but
Cardiff going to be like...
Cardiff just lack finesse going forward.
They always have. It's nothing new. It's going to be like...
Where are the goals going to come from in a must-win game?
Gladiators, man. Come from Morrison. Mr. Sitter scores the winner. There you go.
I think because of their impressive record at Craven Cottage, I'm just going to... I think Cardiff might just sneak this one 2-1 with a late winner. But I wouldn't be at all surprised to see a draw there.
Okay. Joe, since you're on the podcast.
Nias hat trick for me.
Hey, that'd be wonderful. I'd love to see him score.
Same.
He really would. For the work rating and dare he puts in the 90 minutes. He's
Nias hat trick and what, a 3-0 win or a 4-3 loss?
3-1, I think. 3-1.
4-3 loss. Oh, yeah, he didn't say what the score was. He just said a Nias hat trick, you know?
Even if we lose, I'd be happy if we get that trick.
Ben?
2-0. 2-0 Cardiff, I just think. Fulham, if you go up there and show...
Beat them up?
If you want this, like Cardiff are going to want this, Fulham aren't going to stick it out for 90 minutes with us.
Mm.
Good analysis. Mm. Good analysis.
There we go. Another good podcast. So, yeah, that's all for Blakey's Broom this week. But you can catch all the latest Cardiff City news and all the build-up and live action on Saturday on Wales Online.
And your 25 large.